Okay, so I think we've already covered the more exciting Parshas Vayera topic, so scrounging for what to talk about tonight. This shiur will take a little bit of a different direction than I initially anticipated, but we'll see where we end up. The Torah tells us in Parshas Vayera, Vayita Eshel Bever Shava, Vayikra Sham Meshem Hashem Kelalam, that literally Avram Avinu planted an Eshel. So literally, Eshel is probably a tree, but that's a machlokes. Amaraim, Rashi quotes, Rav Shmuel, Chadam or Pardes, Lavi Menu Peiros, an orchard to bring food for the Orchim, Chadam or Punduk, hotel, Lachsanya, Bokol Mine Peiros. Okay. Then Rashi says, I day also Eshel, Nikra Shmosha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Elokar L'chol Olam. Through this Eshel, Kadosh Baruch Hu was able, Avraham Avinu was able to proclaim Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Whoever came and partook of the food that he offered, after doing so, go and say a bracha to the creator of the world, the source of all sustenance. Do you think it's my food? You ate from the food of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll source this out in a moment, just parenthetically. Eshel also... The Gaon has this, and the earlier sources of Rashi Tevas of Achila, Shasiya, and Levia, Levaya, the three elements of Achnas Orchim, providing food, drink, and escorting the person after. Pardes Yosef quotes a story in the name of the Gaon that once someone came and asked the Gaon the following. There's a very big Machnas Orchim, and at some point this whole house burned down. So people were wondering, if he's such a big Machnas Orchim, why did the Schus of Achnas Orchim not help him? Why did his house burn down? So the Gaon commented that this person did the Achila and the Shasiya, but he didn't do the Levaya afterwards. So if you take off the Lamed, all you have is Eish, and that's why his house burned down. The source of what Rashi's quoting, at least partially, there's a Gemara and there's a Medrash. The Gemara, Sota Daf Yud Amid Beis, has the following. Quoting this Pasuk, Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, says the Gemara, Al Tikri Vayikra Ella Vayakri. Don't read it as Vayakra, he proclaimed, but rather Vayakri, he called out. Melamed, Shehikri Avram Avinu L'shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'fekol Ovri V'shav, that Avram Avinu would call out the name of Hashem to all the people that passed by. Ketzad, that's what, so Rashi quote, Ala Torah, after they would eat and drink, he would say a bracha, you're eating from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's food, not from my food. Maritzki is there in the Gemara comments that this Gemara, that line in the Gemara in Sota, may be the source of a part of the Rambam's presentation in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, where the Rambam goes through the intellectual history of the world and the development, how Avodah Zarah came to be so popular in the early generations and how Avram Avinu shifted the tide. So in the course of those long Rambams, the beginning of Perek Aleph of Avodah Zarah, the Rambam writes, Kevin Shagavar Aleyem Biriyosav, once Avram had the rayas to prove the existence of Kadosh Baruch Hu, then Bike Shamelch Lahargo Benasal Neis Vyatzal Charan, that was the Neis of the Kivshan Eish, and then Avram Avinu emerged and went to Charan. The Hiska Lamod Velikro Bekal Gadol L'chol Olam, and he would stand and call out in a loud voice to the whole world, Ulodiam Shiyesham Eloka Echad L'chol Olam, to tell everyone that there's one God, the Lord Roy Laban, and that's who you should worship. And he went and gathered everybody from city to city, from kingdom to kingdom, Achigil Eretz Canaan, etc. So this, that the Rama writes, that he was Omeid Vikore Vikalgod Chola Olam, Maritzki points out the Kasa Mishnah doesn't tell you what the source is. So maybe the source is this Vayakri, that Avram Avinu would proclaim to the masses the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Meshech Chachma also in this week's Sedra quotes in the Pirkei Rav Elazar that Ve Nefesh Asu B'Charan. So we all notice that the Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charan seems to have disappeared, that we don't have any trace of these Geirim of Avram Avinu later on. The whole Shalshel Samasorah goes to Yitzchak, goes to Yaakov, but we have no knowledge of what happened to these other people, the Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. So the Meshech Chachma quotes on the Pirkei Rav Elazar that they all disappeared. They were all Chazir L'Surah, and they didn't. It didn't take hold. Rav Zilberstein has the following shaila: someone was trying to fund a institution in Eretz Yisrael that was supposed to attract off the derech or never on the derech bachrim, to teach them some kind of a kirv institution. So he hired the guy and he said, I'll give you $1,000 bonus for every person that you recruit to join this program. So this person did a lot of recruiting and he reported back to the Stern in America that he had 60 people to join the program. So he got a check for $60,000. And then the Stoner came to visit the institution a couple months later and he looked around and there were only 30 people there. So he said, what happened? I thought you told me there were 60. So he said, yeah, there were 60. But some of them stayed for a day, some of them stayed for 2 days, some of them stayed for a week. And now 2 months later, we're left with 30. So this donor in America wanted his money back. I was paying you with the assumption that these people would be staying in part of the program, not that they just come in and out. So he wanted $30,000 back. So they asked the Shiloh to Silverstein. So he quoted something that Rav Steinemann said related to this point of a Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, that Avram Avinu was the biggest Makariv in history. And yet, apparently, all the subjects of his kiruv didn't really stay with the program. So, as Zilberstein said, maybe that's a raya that as long as you try and you get them in the door, what happens afterwards, that's not your fault, not your achrayas. So he asked them back and forth, he discussed it with the Steinemann, and that was the maskana that this donor wasn't entitled to any money back. But be that as it may, so that's what the Maraskiyas thinks the source of this Rambam may be, that Vayakre, that Avram was Vayakre, the status of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to all the people that he would encounter. Now, it's interesting that, if that's the case, so the Rambam is talking in general terms, that he proclaimed the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the specific context of the Gemara is about saying brachos, that Avram Avinu asked the people who came through his door to say brachos. So that's interesting that that is the specific context of that Vayakre. And look at the Pirkei Rav Elazar. Pirkei Rav Elazar, Perek Kaf Hei. So the Pirkei Rav Elazar doesn't stress the bracha aspect. He just stresses the Kadosh Baruch Hu aspect. The way the Pirkei Rav Elazar presents it, this is in the context of the episode of Stoma this week's Sedra, that Lot learned from Avram Avinu. Oleich es chachamim yachkam, ze Lot shayim ahalachim Avram Avinu, v'lamim mimasav midrach v'tovim. That if you walk with chachamim, it'll rub off on you. So that's what happened to Lot. He hung out with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu influenced him. Amru, ma'as Avram Avinu, asalo beis kibol l'charan. Avram Avinu made Beis Kibul, it sounds like some kind of welcoming center in Charan. V'komi shehu nifnas v'yotze l'charan ayem mekablo v'no sin lo machal l'mashgeyu. So whoever would go into this Beis Kibul, this hotel in Charan, so we only know if Avram Avinu doing this when he gets there is Kanan. Pirkei Rav Elazar presents this as Avram Avinu is already having the Echnasis Orchim forum back in Charan. Whoever came in, he'd be mekabelim, given to eat and drink. The Omer lo echad hu Elokim b'olam, he would say, there is one God in the world. And then Lo tried to emulate this or replicate this in stone. So there's no emphasis on brachas per se. It's just the general perspective that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash expands on the Gemara in Sota in terms of what was the brachos element over here. And this is partially quoted by the Tosfos Shans on the margin of the Gemara in Sota. The Tosfos Shans writes as follows, V'chimi shaliach altem hodu baruch hu l'misha amar v'hayol olam. Yesh b'medrash shalarotu l'varach b'tzonam. That Avraham Avinu, when he had guests, they didn't want to bench. They didn't want to say brachos. Asher amar lahem Avraham, hiru ma'ashach altem, which is he said, if you're not going to say bracha, then pay me. V'yomer lahem shu olam en yagadu. He said, it costs a lot of money. Ki ayu b'mibra, they're in the desert. And it costs a lot of money to provide food in the desert. So when they saw it was either say a bracha or pay a lot of money, they decided to say a bracha. So it's a little bit more colorful in the medrash, the lashon of the medrash mem tes dalid. Ki yadativ l'man asher yetzaveh. Our bazar yebishem re mitchila tzadik wasof mishpat. Okay, sad. Avram yamakabel es haovrim es hashavim. Mishayu ochel mishosim. Amar lehem baruch say bracha. Amar leh manom. What should we say? Amar leh imru baruch keel alav shachal mishalom. So im makabel avu baruch chayu ochel mishasi vazil. So if he would agree to say the bracha, he'd eat, drink, and go to his merry way. If he wouldn't do that, the guest, so give me, pay me. So what do you have on me? What's the amount? So he would say, one unit of wine is a sarah pularin. 1 liter of mead is a sarah pularin, etc., etc. That was a lot of money. Why so much money? We're in the desert. It's hard to get food. So then they would say, the brachos. That's what it says. So that's interesting. Sounds like Avraham Avinu was forcing them into this. Some of the Marmor Kalmas we're going to quote now appear in the Sefer Toldos Noach that we've quoted a number of times before, Hilchos B'nei Noach, and also in the Madonei Asher Parsha Sheet. So there's a comment or question that the Kedushas Levi asks in our Sedra. He goes to his medrash, and he's bothered. Why is it that Avraham Avinu was only asking him to say bracha achrona? Why not a bracha rishona? So he says, beforehand, they're not Jewish. They're nachrim. They're goyim. So how can they be mekabel omach v'shamayim? But after they eat, they did a mitzvah. They're mezaka Avraham Avinu b'mitzvah sachnasas orchim. So then they can be mekabel omach v'shamayim. And say the bracha. I'm not sure exactly what that means in halachic terms that we're familiar with. That eating, he's not saying there was a geirus, but they had some zchus, and then they're mukshar to be mekabel omach v'shamayim. Not exactly sure what he means by that, but that just points out he was only asking to say bracha achrona and not a bracha rishona. So the Toldos Noach has a little bit of a discussion. Is there any basis to think that a non-Jew should have to recite brachos? So the starting point for that is the Gemara in Brachos, the beginning of Ketzem Mevarachin. The Gemara says, how do we know that you have to recite brachos? So first the Gemara says, it's a svara. Aser lahanos me'olam azabala bracha. It's a svara. It makes sense that you can't benefit from the world without saying a bracha to thank Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then the Gemara has different variations on the following theme, but the most famous one is the second Maimra, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Actually, that's the second most famous. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol Enanim, and Olam Azabla Bracha, Kilo Enanim, Mikasha Shemayim, that if you benefit from this world without reciting a bracha, it's like you're Moel Behektish. It's like you're benefiting from property of the Beis HaMikdash. And then the more famous statement is the next line, of Levi Rami. Levi posed a contradiction in Sukkim. Siv Lashem Aritzim Loa, that Hashem is the Bailam in the entire world. Siv Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem Aritzim Talam Deidam. Shemayim is the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it gave the earth to man. Lo Kasha Kan Kod Nebracha, Kan Lo Acher Bracha. So that seems to be another source as to how we know we have to recite brachos. That before we say a bracha belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and after we say a bracha, we're allowed to benefit. So the machlokas here, the Pnei Yeshua and the Tzlach, The Pnei Yeshua thinks that the Iker reason of the Gemara, even the Maskana, is the Svara. There's a Svara to say brachas. And the Tzach is bothered, if that's the case, that there's a Svara that you have to recite brachas. So number one, he assumes, the way the Pnei Yeshua presents this, that we're talking about a Svara d'Oraisa, that the Svara here has the strength of a Din d'Oraisa. And so the Tzach is bothered, is that really so? Are you going to say that all brachas are d'Oraisa? We'll see why that may be problematic in a few moments. And then he says, if that's the case, that is based on a Svara, so then it should follow that B'nai Noach have to recite brachos as well. Because it, as the Toldos Noach elaborates on over here, if you assume, as we've discussed in the past, that B'nai Noach are mechuyav on some level in mitzvah sichlios, in logical commandments, and reciting brachos is a svara, so maybe that should obligate B'nai Noach as well, if it's considered to be a mitzvah sichlis. So the Toldos Noach says, it could be that there are different gradations of svara. You could have a svara, but it's a svara that only works for Klai Yisrael, not for everyone else. I mean, it could be a svara that's predicated on la'avda b'chol levavcha, a svara that's predicated on the fact that we have a general mitzvah tefillah. Once you have a general mitzvah tefillah, so the svara expands of mitzvah tefillah to reciting brachos before eating. The bigger problem that the Tzach kind of gets at over here is if you're really going to suggest that brachos are d'oraisa, or for that matter, you could say possibly ask the same question, even if you're not working with the strict d'oraisa, but you're working with the Gemara's assumption that there's some kind of ne'ilah / gezel involved in eating without reciting a bracha. So the Ritva, Shabbos Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, raises the following question. Miyutim Hani, Bebirchas Hanenin Lefanav, when it comes to bracha Rishona. So bracha Rishona, we always assume, is only a din derabanan, but the Gemara connects it to the possibility of violating the ne'ilah if you don't recite a bracha. So, or Gezel. So, yes, the Ritva, Bibirkas Hanan and Lefanav, Hea Chozer Biocha below Bracha Menei Safek. So, let's say you have a situation of Safek. You don't know whether you're Mechuyev in a Bracha or not. You don't know what Bracha to say. You don't know if you said a Bracha, some Safek. So, how can you usually, so we would say, and this is the Halacha, that Safek Bracha is Lekula, and you don't recite a Bracha. But, Hare Machnis Atma Bekuma Say, Lechol, but if you're not going to recite a bracha, then you're potentially violating a ke'ilu me'ila. So then, maybe if you have any situation of a safek about even a bracha rishona, you should have to recite a bracha rishona misafek to avoid any potential of me'ila. So, and if you're going to go with that, then you could potentially ask the same question. So maybe you'll say, or you should say that a Ben Noach is Mechuyev in Brachos, because a Ben Noach is Musar and Gezel, so he's not allowed to steal. If there's some element of Gzela here, then maybe Ben Noach should be Mechuyev to recite Brachos as well. So, Toldos Noach quotes from Shlomo Zalman, Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simen Yud Ches, Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simen Yud Ches. So, he points out that when the Gemara talks about Me'ila, it doesn't mean literally Me'ila that you're Nana from Hektish in any real way. It's kind of a mashal, it's kind of an expression for saying that in order to, before eating, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to engage in some kind of hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the recitation of a bracha. But the Gemara doesn't mean in any literal sense that it's really gezel or really me'ila. And one of his rayas is the din of an onen. An onen, someone whose relative passed away before burial, isn't allowed to perform mitzvos, and an onen doesn't recite brachos. So the general klal is that an onen isn't mufka from Yisurim. He can't do anything to violate an Isser, but he doesn't do any mitzvah, the kum v'asei. So if to eat without reciting a bracha is a potential violation of gezel or me'ilah, as that ritva kind of insinuates in asking the question, where we know the answer is not the din. But if it was the case that there's an element of gezel me'ilah, then we should say that a onen should recite a bracha to avoid possibly violating that gezel slash me'ilah. Just like we would, or at least the classic sources would say that an onen should wash netilas sidayim because there's an element of removing tumah, or those elements of netilas sidayim, that's not just a mitzvah on its own. So Shlomo Zalman says the fact that we don't say that the din is an onein doesn't recite brachos, that's an indication that we're not talking about a strict gezel slash me'ilah. It's an expression. It's a way of formulating the fact that we have an obligation to express hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a prerequisite for eating food. If that's the case, so then there's really nothing to talk about. No havamina that you would have said that a nachri is mechuyev in brachos because of the gezel element. It doesn't really mean gezel in any strict sense. There's a brief note that the Imre Amos, I think it was, that appears in the Sefer Piskei Tshuva. Piskei Tshuva is a collection of different off-the-beaten-track marmakamos. So this was printed in his Ha'aros on the Sefer Pardes Yosef on Chumash. So he writes there, I just discovered this is a new printing of the Piskei Tshuva in fancy typeset, I haven't seen before. So he quotes, as follows. The question of Bnei Yisaskar, who discussed what bracha Klai Yisrael recited on the Mon. Obviously, they recited bracha on the Mon because otherwise that's a violation of Gezel and Me'ilah. He says if that's the case, then it should follow that a Ben Noach is mechuyev in Birchas Hananin because a Ben Noach is mitzuvah on Gezel. And if that's the case, then you wouldn't be allowed to give any food to a Nachri because you're mashal them, you're violating Lifnei Iver, you're going to give them food and they're not going to recite a bracha. That's the question that the Gaon Rabbi posed here. Then he writes, Yesh Lomar, it's called Yerek Esav V'chulei Lachla. And by Noach it says, called Rames, Yelachem Lachla. Ube Medrash V'aris Nesalim Ne'adam, Mibli Tzorech Bracha. So the Medrash comments there that Adam HaRishon and Noach were entitled and authorized to eat food from this earth without reciting a bracha. Ulam Isa b'Medrash Shuvah b'Yalkin Yisro Tehillim Kishenas Nitan Tol Yisrael Nisbatu L'Gzeira Shel V'Aras Asalim Ne'adam. He says everything changed on Mamon Har Sinai, meaning that from the time of Adam Rishon and Noach, man was authorized to benefit from this world, to eat food from this world without reciting a bracha, and that all changed at the time of Matan Torah. At that point, there is a bridging between Shemayim and Ba'aretz on some level. At that point, there is a tzivoy that Bnei Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, need to recite brachos. So he says, from there, you see that brachos were never given to Bnei Noach. They're only given to Klal Yisrael. From the beginning of the world, there's never a chiyah bracha. Chiyah bracha only emerged at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, and at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, it was only given to Klal Yisrael. So Bnei Noach were never mechuyavim in brachas. The Pardes Yosef himself, I saw this quote a second hand, but the Pardes Yosef himself said, couldn't find it inside, it was quoted in the Madan Yashar. He says that even if you want to take the notion of Gezel more literally in the context of brachos, that there's some real Gezel going on if you recite a bracha, if you eat without reciting a bracha, and Nachrim and Enoch are Mechuyavim and Gezel, but maybe you could distinguish between Gezel Begashmius and Gezel Beruchnius. Now, the only Gezel that Benoach is Bechlau is Gezel Begashmius. He can't steal, but eating food without reciting a bracha, that's Gezel Beruchnius, and Gezel Beruchnius was never assured for Bnei Noach. So these are some perspectives on the brachas that Avram Avinu had his guests recite. The Pashup Shad is that there was no chi bracha there. It was simply a way of reflecting belief and cognizance of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that makes no mention of brachas as opposed to the Medrash and the Bavli that do. But either way, it's an interesting maimer musgar, whether anyone would entertain the possibility that on some level in Akri would be Bechlal brachas. Okay. Have a great Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos. Thank you.
Shabbos.
In terms of Aram's Kirov, it's Kedaito to see the Petuchi Chosam, Chassam Sofer's introduction to the Ordea.
Yeah.
He discusses Avram's Kirov. It's a beautiful Peshat. I'm a chasani Avram, you don't find the lesson anywhere in Tanakh.
Right.
Nowhere in Tanakh. Mm-hmm. And then the Teretz Kazo, I'm going to tell him because the man is the Sabbath space of Rav, the man Havi Osano. So you mean to say that Avram does it because Chayav Onish? That's why he does it?
Mm-hmm.
He has a whole thing that Avram knew, Avram's, his, that Avram knew that, Hashem, there were tzitzikim before Abraham. Hashem, there was a Chanoch became a malach, but Abraham knew that that's not what Hashem wanted. He has tens of thousands of malachim.
Okay.
So, because of that, he devoted himself to Kirov, right?
Mm-hmm.
To the point that who were his talmidim? The kids you have to give candy to. Do follow Hashem for Schar Onesh. That's who's certain. He says that Abraham. One of the conditions of Nevuah is you have to have a sport of this. Because Avram was always doing Kirov, he never had had his sport of this. Therefore, by right, he shouldn't have had the Nevuah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't he didn't satisfy that condition. So okay. Sometimes Avram, when he did this all for my sake, and Manash, he says basically he says that, and then he says that Musa Haskell, for someone who thinks he's just gonna do it for himself and doesn't mm-hmm. need to care for someone else. You do what Hashem wants, and Hashem will take care of you.
Uh-huh. Okay, we'll take a look.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Thanks.